Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Has ever played hide and seek? The best places to hide. Anyone want to tell me what is the best place to hide in your house? In the shower, okay. All right. In the closet, that's right. Anyone hide under the bed? Yeah, hiding under the bed's a good place too. The best places to hide are the places that are dark. If you hide into a room and you turn all the lights on, it's kind of hard to hide, isn't it? People walk in the room and they see you immediately. They're like, oh, there he is. Game over. That's boring. But if it's dark, you can hide and you can keep yourself from being seen by other people because we need light to be able to see. When I was a kid, my mom used to make me clean my room. I'm sure that was true of all of us. Some of us still do clean our rooms that are better than me. But I had this strategy when my mom would tell me to clean my room. Now, this is not a good strategy, kids. Don't do it. But what I would do is I would take all of the toys and all of the junk that had accumulated on the floor of my room, and I would shove it under the bed, right? And then I would make my bed really nice. I would put the bedspread on top, and I'd pull it down a little bit so you couldn't really see under the bed as you walked by my room. So that way it looked like my room was clean. But was my room clean? No. My room was not clean. All the clutter and all the mess and all the disorganization was still there. It was just hidden. And if I actually wanted to clean it, I would actually need to lift up the covers, pull out all the stuff, put it into the light, and then you could organize it. Now, that's the way we like to hide things, right? We like to hide things like that because we don't want people to see. But we don't just do that with things like our toys. We do that in our lives. And adults, you guys can agree with this as well. There are parts of our lives that we like to hide. We like to hide them and so no one else can see. We like to pretend like they don't exist. We don't want other people to see the brokenness and the sin and the struggles within us. Some of you kids know what this is like because you've lied before, right? Your parents have said, did you hit your brother? And you said, no. And you did hit your brother, right? Or your sister. Or you said, did you eat the cookies that mommy had there? No. Yes, you did. You're hiding. You're trying to hide from your parents. Now, your parents can see right through that. Don't worry. They know you're lying. But some of us adults, as we get older, we still figure out ways to do that and we get better at it to our own detriment. We hide the parts of our lives that are broken and that are messed up, and we don't show those to other people. We don't tell them to our friends and our families. We don't tell them to those who are close to us. We pretend like they don't exist, thinking that if we shove them down and hide them in the darkness, we won't have to deal with them. Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about not hiding. So our 2 points this morning. Kids, if you know how to write, write this down. Your 2 points this morning. 1, hiding in the shadows. And 2, stepping into the light. Hiding in the shadows, stepping into the light. Hiding in the shadows. Well, one of my kids, I won't tell you which one because they might get embarrassed. But one of my kids hates parts of movies where the characters are sneaking around trying not to get caught. You know those little scenes in the movie when they're sneaking into the bad guy's house or they're in the dragon's lair or they're in some situation where they might get caught doing something bad or not. They don't want to be caught because my child feels that deep feeling of what it's like to be caught in the act. Has anyone here ever been caught when you were doing something bad? Anyone ever been caught? Man, it's scary, right? It's all of a sudden you feel so exposed. Because you were hiding something, and then you were caught. We know that feeling. We know that feeling of what it's like to be called out, to be exposed when you're doing something bad. So my question is, why do we hide in the first place? Why do we try to hide those things from other people? Well, I think there's two reasons that we hide our sin and our struggles from other people. One of those reasons is called shame. What is shame? Shame is this belief that you are a bad person, which to some level might be true. We are all bad. We are all sinners. We are all bad people. We all do bad things that are against God's will. But shame is this reminder or this calling you out that you are not good enough. And so sometimes we're scared, adults and children, of being found out in our sin because then either other people out there or our own view of ourself is challenged. And we might have to think of ourselves as a bad person. We might have to deal with us not being, living up to the image that we want to project to the world or to try to believe ourselves. The other one, and maybe for kids this one's more common, at least more tangible, is guilt. Guilt is a fear of consequences. Guilt comes with a fear of consequences. So you might not want your parents to know what you did because they might ground you, or they might take away your privileges, or they might send you to time out, right? We're scared of consequences. Now, adults are also scared of consequences. We also are afraid. Maybe there's no one who's going to punish us and give us a spanking or anything, but we are punished by losing relationship with people. We have the consequences of lost relationship, broken down relationships when people find out that we did something that we were trying to hide. We're scared of being known because we're scared of harmed just a relationship that is no longer full of trust. You guys know what that's like? But here's the problem. As much as we think hiding will protect us from consequences and will protect us from shame, it actually does the opposite. Hiding our sin is like building a big fence. There was this TV show that was on back in the 90s in the United States called Home Improvement. And this main character had a neighbor, and you never saw the neighbor's face. You only saw the top of his eyes because he had this huge fence in his between him and his neighbor's house. And so whenever he would have conversations with the main character, he would talk to him through the fence, but all you could see was his eyes up the whole time. When you have a big fence up, when you're keeping people out of the darker part of your lives, you're actually preventing them from fully knowing you. You're preventing them from being in full relationship with you. You're keeping them at arm's length from you. You're keeping them from getting close to you. And not only that, you're isolating yourself. And so who is the only person who is dealing with that shame you feel? You, by yourself, alone, internally. And it wears on you and it beats you down. And the longer you hold in sin, the longer you hold in your struggles from other people knowing, the harder it is to get people, to tell people. Because the lie grows bigger and bigger. And the shame grows deeper and deeper. And you're more hesitant to want to open up about it because you've been in the shame for so long. This isn't just with other people. This isn't just with one another. This is with the Lord too. The longer we live in unrepentant sin, the longer we live in sin that we're keeping from him, that we're keep trying to protect from him engaging with, the more it creates a barrier between us and the Lord. We're unable to experience the closeness and the intimacy in our relationship with him because we don't want to think about spiritual things. We don't want to really open up our full hearts to God. Well, God's calling us not to hide in this passage. He's saying, walk in the light. Don't walk in darkness, but walk in the light. He's calling us to step out of the shadows and to step into the light. He's calling us to pull up the bedspread, pull out all of the junk, lay it on the floor. Why? So that he can engage with it, so that he can help us organize it, and so that he can help us grow. When God exposes our sin, so the idea, the picture in this passage is of light exposing, right? If you're in a dark room and you're hiding in the shower, like one of you said, you turn on the light, all of a sudden it's not such a great hiding spot. All of a sudden you're perfectly visible to everyone. When you turn on light, it exposes things. And God is trying to expose a couple things. The first thing he's trying to expose is that your sin is actually harmful to you. When your parents tell you to not eat all the cookies, why are they telling you that? Because they know that you will have a stomach ache tomorrow, or they know that the sugar will cause you to be hyper and bad behaved and hit your siblings, right? That happens all the time in my house. You guys know what I'm talking about. Why do they tell you to go to bed on time so you're not tired and ornery the next day? They tell you things to do, not because they just want to make you do things and control you. They tell you things to do because these are good things for you. And so when we bring our sin to God, God is able to say and show us and expose to us the ways that our sin is actually harmful to us. It hurts us. It keeps us from experiencing the true joy that he has called us to. It is harmful. And he wants to expose that to you because he loves you deeply. But also, he wants to expose to you that he is not a God of shame, but a God of grace. Who here has ever read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis, or seen the movie maybe. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is a story about these kids, and they go into this magical world through a wardrobe. But what you need to know is about Edmund. Edmund is the third child, and he goes into the wardrobe, and instead of joining up with the good forces of Aslan the lion and the good guys, he gets enticed by the Snow Queen, the Ice Queen, right? By Turkish Delight, and he goes with her, and he participates in her evil. He's a traitor to all of Narnia, he's a traitor to his siblings. He lies to them, and he helps the witch. But Aslan, the good guy, the lion, rescues him and pulls him back and brings him back to his camp. And when Edmund has to face his siblings and has to face all of these people that he's betrayed. But what does Aslan do? Aslan engages with him. He restores him. And he tells all of the community that they should treat him as a brother. That is how God engages with you. When you come to him with your sin, when you come to him with the deepest, darkest brokenness of your life, he is not surprised, but rather engages you with deep grace and love. But the story doesn't end there, because what happens next in the story? The witch shows up at Aslan's camp and demands for Edmund's life, because the rules of Narnia is that someone's a traitor, he belongs to the Ice Queen. His life belongs to the Ice Queen. But Aslan makes a deal with the queen, right? You guys know what happens? Aslan says, no. How about instead of killing Edmund, you kill me? Instead of giving the punishment to Edwin that he deserves, how about you give me the punishment? And on the stone table, Aslan is put to death by the witch on behalf of Edmund. This is the lengths to which our Savior has gone in order to cleanse us from our sin. He has come, and he is not a lion. He is not a story. He has truly come to die on a cross for you and for me because of his deep love for me. As Jesus was on that cross, the sin that we have committed, those deep, dark struggles that we have in our hearts, the past ones, the present ones, and even the future ones, were all laid on him. And he took them. He took that penalty for you. So why would you think that Jesus would be surprised when you bring to him your sin? He's not. He knows about it. And he loves you so much that he has forgiven you if you are in him. And he wants to help you experience a new life, a life free from the burdens of that sin, from the struggles of that sin. And he wants to restore you. This is what God does for you. So here's the question. How might you experience that grace? How might you experience it? Kid or adult, how might you experience God's grace? Well, the first is what it says clearly in this passage. It says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's saying, go to the Lord and open up your heart. Pull back the bedspread and pull out all the toys, all the junk, all the mess that's in your heart and show it to him. And say, Lord, forgive me and help me, right? Forgive me and help me. Lord, I need you to help me change. Show me your grace. Show me how much you love me and you've forgiven me through your son Jesus. And through the power of your spirit, work in me and help me change. That's one. That's the first one. The second one is you got to bring it to your community. You got to. The Bible's very clear on this. It says over and over again to confess our sins to one another. That's what James says. It says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. In Galatians, it says, bear one another's burdens. In Ephesians, it says, put away falsehood with one another. Stop hiding from one another, because it says you are members one to the other. You are members of one another. There need to be other people who know about your sin. God does not create us to fight our sin alone. God creates us to fight our sin in the presence of community. I'm not just saying tell anybody, and I'm not saying tell everybody everything you've ever done. I'm not saying that. But you need to find people who know Jesus, who know his grace, who know his love deeply, with whom you can share the struggles of your life, those sins and those struggles. Let me tell you why this is a good thing. One, it is an opportunity for you to experience tangibly the love God has for you. It is an opportunity, as that person listens to you, is not surprised by your sin, is not respond by shaming you or attacking you, but instead receives it and encourages you with the good news that Jesus has paid for that sin and he deeply loves you, you get the opportunity to experience the taste of God's grace in a very tangible way with other people. So for kids, if there's something you're hiding, if there's something you are hiding in a lie, and that lie is burdening you and bearing on you, or even if it isn't, but it's, you know it's there. Maybe the person to tell is your parents. Maybe you need to go tell your parents. And guess what? I bet, not 100% sure, but I bet your parents will respond in a way that surprises you and encourages you. And if you're a parent, surprise your kids in the way you respond to them when they tell you. When they open up to you and they share their burdens and their struggles, don't respond by trying to manipulate their behavior or shaming them. Which is tempting. It's tempting because you want to say, I told you so. Don't do it. Respond by saying, you know what? I love you. Jesus loves you more. Now let me help you. Let me help you to change so this doesn't happen again, because I love you. Right? If you are an adult, maybe your mom is the person to tell, I don't know. But find someone else in this church. Find someone else who you can share those burdens with. Find someone. Every week in my office, or frequently I should say, sometimes multiple times a week, I'll sit down with people and I'll watch as they share with me these burdens. To share with me the things that have been tugging at their souls, and I can see, even as the tears roll down, the burdens falling off. I see it all the time, and it's beautiful. But here's the thing. Two things. One, I can't be that for everyone. I can't be that for all of you. I can't be the person who supports you through all of your battles. I'm the only pastor here, all right? But this community isn't meant to be a pastor and individual relationship with all of you. This is meant to be a community of God's people where you can be a picture to one another of the gospel and you can be open with one another. Who are the people in this community who know the gospel that you feel like you can share with and open up about your burdens and your struggles and let them hear you? Let them point you to Jesus and encourage you, because then you will also gain someone who is in battle with you. Tell someone. I've also been the person who shared. So I've been on the other side too. I've been that person. I've been the person who has been walking in darkness, who has been hiding brokenness. And sometimes I chose to come into the light, and sometimes I was dragged into it. But the Lord is good, and he showed me the freedom that comes with being exposed, the freedom that comes with knowing his grace, and the freedom that comes with being known. So I encourage you, don't hide in the darkness. Step into the light. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, that you are a God who of light and a God of love, a God who exposes, not to shame, but a God who exposes to rebuild and to construct and to help us grow and to restore. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, whatever age we are, to be people who don't need to hide, people who know that we're safe in your arms. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.